Got so many buttons to push these days. It's like, here we go. And sometimes it all works, and sometimes it just falls apart. Technology. You think it's your friend, but it's not. We're looking at a section where Paul talks to the church about being sanctified. And that's a very important word in Christianity. When we come to Jesus Christ, we are made righteous. That's justified. And justified is something where God, you know, not only declares that you're righteous, but he puts righteousness in us. He puts the power of Christ's righteousness in us. I'm not righteous because of me. I'm righteous because of Christ in me. And the righteousness of Christ, right, is what makes me able to call God my Father, to worship him openly, to enter into the Holy of Holies, as we just sang. It's a very powerful relationship through the blood of Christ. But sanctifying is something that is that righteousness growing in us. It's about learning how to be God's people, and that lasts our entire life. It's a process that never stops. And Paul talks about this, and I'm going to jump off of his words as he talks to us about how to live in order to please God. He says, "Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus." So the word live is a word, peripatio or peripatin in this case, but it means to walk. And I like the idea of walking because, you know, live, life, living, I'm alive, right? But walking has this kind of picture of a journey, that every step I take is another step to somewhere. And so in your life, think of it as every day you're walking through your life. You're going step by step. And he's saying we need to learn how to walk in a way that pleases God. The word walk is used several times. It's always translated in modern translations as live. But in the old King James, it was walk, you know, walk in the Spirit, walk. And so it's used, you know, to talk about us walking in accord to the truth, or walking in the light, walking in the daytime and not in the darkness. It's talking about, it talks to us other places about walking worthy of God, or walking a life worthy of the gospel. We're supposed to walk in love. We're supposed to love. That's a really important thing for Christians to know how to love. And then, you know, in Galatians, walk in the Spirit, and just living or walking in the Spirit, keeping the things of God alive in your life. That's what he's saying. On the negative sense, it's also used of the world. It says, you know, don't walk in a worldly manner. Don't walk in idleness. You don't want to walk, you know, doing nothing. I'm a little concerned, especially for some of our youth. We have youth that are waking up at 5 in the evening because they're staying up all night playing their games and nobody's stopping them. Don't walk in idleness. Don't walk in the flesh. Romans 8 tells us if you're walking in the flesh, you can't please God, you can't obey God. You need to walk in the Spirit in order to please God. Don't walk in accord with your old transgressions, you know, the things that you left behind, right? It's a covenant relationship that, you know, going back to Abraham, he says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly." Now that's that we know from some of our other conversations. That's talking about us. That, you know, we join with Abraham. When we believe in Jesus, we're joined. We're children of Abraham. We're children of God. We belong to that. And we're supposed to conduct ourselves, walk in a way that, as he says to Abraham, is blameless. That keeps us in that good covenant relationship with God. That's what we're seeking after. One of the things that happens, though, when you talk about sanctification, and here actually the word, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but the word isn't to be sanctified as though it's something that's fixed. It's more of something that you're doing. And so in our life, we want to be sanctified more and more, day by day, week by week, year by year. We want to continue to grow in our sanctification, our separate walk with God as we go through life. We do that, and again, Paul refers to the words that he gave these people as coming with the authority of Jesus Christ, and we're reading his words, which we also believe come with the authority of Jesus Christ. Scripture is a great sanctifying power. Jesus told his disciples, he says, you are sanctified because you have my words. And at that time, they didn't even have them written down yet, but the word that Jesus spoke sanctified those people that were around him. So the idea is we need to be sanctified. We need to learn how to walk with God and grow in it constantly, right? Now, here's one of the most simple, basic measures of an entrance level, let's say, sanctification. Is that it is God's will that you should be sanctified. It's God's will that you should be sanctified. And that really would mean in the process. And he says you should avoid sexual immorality. That is one of the main things in Scripture. Every moral list in Scripture says, you know, adultery, fornication, or illegitimate sex, those kinds of things. In the Greek, it's porneus. It's always associated with idolatry, too. It's a word that is associated with idolatry, and it really is about choosing something other than God to follow, right? So when you practice unfaithfulness, whether it's to yourself or to your spouse or to God, it is a form of idolatry. I'm choosing to do something rather than be faithful. And like, so the best part of that is our marriage. You know, we're married, we're in a marriage, and we're faithful to one another. And that means that, you know, we are faithful people. If you break faith with that, you are not sanctified. So the difference between, you know, what God calls us to and what the world calls us to, right? And this is one of the problems. You think about how does the world put stuff in front of us? You know, you can't watch hardly anything without some ill moral thing being projected in your home. Go on the internet. Again, it's the same thing. The world, which runs the media, which runs most of the voices that you hear and messages you hear outside of church, it is not going to teach you a moral thing. It's going to teach you pagan ideas because they don't know God. He says, you know, each of you should learn how to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable and not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. The world doesn't know God. So if you're watching shows, and I mean, some of the shows you might think are innocent, but you realize people are sleeping together, or maybe they cohabitate with three or four people in a series of years of a show. And that's a vile lifestyle. That's not what God calls us to. God created the physical relationship to create godly children. That's what it's for, right? It's supposed to be a union for his glory. And when we break that union, when we don't live up to what God created us to be, we're basically committing idolatry. And that's where sanctification, in the very easiest part, you know, be pure in your life, whether it's just you, because I used to tell guys, I say, if you can't be straight with yourself when you're single, you're not going to do it when you're married. Be pure within yourself, and then be pure when you're married. You know, if God gives you that gift, then be pure in that, and don't break faith with that. That's a very central part and kind of an interest level of sanctification. A few years ago, the debate in church, or the conversation in church, talked about sanctification in two ways. Be married, you know, accept marriage, call a marriage, a man and a woman, and avoid homosexuality and abortion. And that was kind of like the message. That was, you do those things and you're okay, but that's not. That's like, you know, you've set the bar pretty low if that's the only thing we do in regard to walking with God. He goes on to tell them, he says, don't let anybody in this matter, you know, let no one wrong his brother or take advantage of him. Now, the way this is translated, I think there's room for us to think how we treat our brothers and sisters in Christ. How we treat one another is a huge part of what it means to be sanctified. And he actually brings this up much later when he talks about love, right? But the idea is that how we relate to each other, how we relate especially to our spouse, how we live a faithful life, those things are sanctifying. And that's part of our goal, is to keep that life together. And the main thing is, the pagan world puts out a totally different sense of value, a totally different sense of what's normal. And you have to have your screens up. You have to say, wait a minute, I'm filtering everything through the Word of God. Is this what God says? And so when I watch something or see something or read something, I'm always thinking, what does the Word of God say about this subject? So that I can basically not take in what they're saying. And my kids used to be around, they would see me argue with the TV or argue, you know, with something I'm seeing or experiencing. So he says, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. And again, the word is, he didn't call us to be unclean, but sanctified. And the word actually isn't like a fixed word again. It's sanctifying. Hagiosmos down at the bottom. To dedicate to the service and to the loyalty to deity. To concentrate. Consecrate. And consecration to dedicate to God. The emphasis is not upon a matter of life, but upon a matter of religious activity and observances which reflect one's dedication or consecration to God. So he said, God calls us to be sanctifying, to practice behaviors that are sanctifying. What does that look like, right? We pray. Why do we pray? You know, some people, well, if God knows everything we need and God will answer us accordingly, you know, why do we have to pray? Well, prayer is a sanctifying thing. When we go and we pray and we make a regular business of praying to God and calling on the name of God, there's a power in that. There's a sanctifying effect that has on our heart and on our soul. So praying is part of the sanctifying action that we take. The Word sanctifies us. We talked about that. The idea of the Word of God having a power and teaching us lessons that the world won't teach us. Teaching us a different way to look at things, a different way to understand things than what the world would teach us. So the Word of God, that's why we want to be in the Word of God. We want to be listening to the Word of God, right? Worship and prayer together. I think that is a huge thing. I really was glad to be here again today. Smaller groups, but I always have to remind myself, some of my most powerful spiritual events happen in very small groups. When I first started out, we would have like 10 people in a house, and we would worship the Lord, and God would just move in great ways. So it doesn't matter that there's not a whole bunch of people. What matters is our heart engaging with God and God feeding us that Holy Spirit, that grace and that power, and that sanctifies us. I say that, you know, sometimes after a really good day at church, I used to go at the back and kind of say goodbye to folks. And when God really moved and we were really in the Spirit, it's like I loved everybody. You know, I look at everybody dead in the eye and say, hey, man, I love you. God bless you. You know, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He sanctifies us. He gives us that pure heart. The impurity of the world is pretty easy. It's like there's God who is holy and pure and good, and our engagement with God will help us to be holy, pure, and good. And then there's engagement with the world, which is vile. The world is vile. The world doesn't love God. The world can't please God. The world is, you know, John says, if you love the world, the things of the world, says, you know, you can't please God. He says, don't love the world or the things of the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of what you have or who you are. Don't be like that. Don't be worldly. Don't be the guy that says, you know, oh, I love to watch these multimillionaires with their gold faucets, and I wish I had a gold faucet. No, I don't need a gold faucet. I need Jesus in my life, right? Because that's what the scripture tells me. I need Jesus. The world tells me I need gold faucets. I need a huge yacht. I need, you know, no. We need to listen to what God is trying to tell us and God is trying to do us. And this is a process, day by day, step by step. We're reading the word. We're praying. We're separating from the world. In Isaiah 52 and Revelation 18, the word is depart, depart, go out from, and it's Babylon, and Babylon represents the world. Go out from them. Don't be like them. Don't take their values. Don't be. That's what sanctification is. When I see in myself, then I am different from what's being portrayed in the media, what's being portrayed even in the news, what's being portrayed on sitcoms or anything that they're showing me. And I say, that's not the way I live. That's not the way I think. That's not the way I feel, right? That says I am being sanctified. I'm being made different by God. And Paul says God called us not to be impure like the world is impure, but to live a sanctified life. And he doesn't even say life, just to be sanctified, right? And he warns, he says, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God who gives you the Holy Spirit. You know, and that's, I mean, sanctification is so important that if we say, oh, I'm okay, I don't need that, I don't need to grow, I don't need to get closer. Paul says, he warns us, don't follow that way. Part of being sanctified is our heart, our love for one another. The one thing that is, there's a word, it's only one word, eleos in Greek, and it's one another. And the most common connection with eleos is love. Love one another. Jesus said, you know, obey my command. My command is love one another. John repeats that in 1 John several times. Love one another. You know, God is love, and anybody that loves is born of God. Love is a very important thing. It says, now about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. I was thinking about this and looking at a few things, but God teaches us what love is. Think about it, right? Love is connected with God and Him calling us. God calls you out of love. You didn't go find God. God found you. God calls you out of love. God elected you, predestined you, however you want to look at that, out of love. He knew you before you were born. Before He said, let there be light, He knew you and He loved you from eternity to eternity, giving His Son. More often than anything, the giving of Jesus Christ, John 3:16, Romans 5, you know, says, you know, God demonstrated His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Right? God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would be saved. God's love. So God taught us love in that way by calling us. There's no selfish action in God. You know, human love is often selfish. Human love is often, I'm trying to get something from you, right? That's what human love is. God's love isn't like that. God's love is other-centered. He's reaching out. He's caring for others. He calls us when we're sinners. He doesn't say, well, if you come and you be like me, then I'll deal with you. But He calls us while we're sinners, and He takes us, some of us, out of a really dark, sinful life, and He brings us in to the light and love of God, and it's just a beautiful difference that it makes in our lives, but it's God's love that does that. God loves us. He offers us grace in our weakness. You know, we don't always get it right, do we? We're not always acting as sanctified as we would want to be, but God still says, I still love you. I'm still bending down to help you up. I'm still showing my grace to you, right? So God shows us love in so many different ways. Puts the Holy Spirit in us, which is, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love. The sanctifying work of God's love works in us so that we learn how to express the same love to others. Have this mind in you that was in Jesus Christ. Don't think of only your own needs, but think of the needs of others. That's for us. That means we have to be like God, thinking outwardly, not inwardly all the time. We've got to love outsiders. You know, we had a guy, Dennis, last week that was here, and Dennis, you know, told me that he was trying to get back with the Lord. He had not lived a good life and not walked with God, but he wanted me to pray with him, and we prayed, and you know, and we would hope to see him again. We'd hope to see this brother come to know God, because there's only those who believe and those who need to believe in this world. And we should love the outsiders. We should want them to be able to know God and come in, just like God loved us. We should have a desire to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to sustain each other in a walk, sharing our gifts together. I mean, even in this kind of diminished group, there was a good presence of God today, right? Because this group shared with each other the gifts of God. That was awesome. It's beautiful. So our love and how we love is part of sanctification. We learn how to love, definitely not from TV, definitely not from the media, not from some book written by some psychiatrist. We learn to love by how God loves. It sanctifies our view of what love is. The last thing he says is lead a quiet life. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and mind your own business and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and that you will not be dependent on anybody. The idea of a quiet life, and part of that word means rest. And that's a powerful word in Scripture. You're supposed to have rest. The Sabbath was a day of rest. The Sabbath was a day of you were supposed to stop working, set aside, you know, your life and heart and think about the Lord. I got one of these crazy watches, tells me how many steps I do and how much I do, you know. And if I look at my calendar and it shows me, usually Saturdays, which kind of is my Sabbath day, I don't make my rings. Praise God. Because the watch shouldn't be telling me every day, you need to do this, you need to do. No, I need time set aside to rest. Actually, I need a fourth ring. I need one for prayer, the Word of God, worship, you know, those things. Yeah, make sure you hit that ring, right? But you need to have that time of rest, that your life is sanctified to God, and you do have times where you are thinking about God. A young man came to me. And he was so proud. He said, I work 80 hours a week and I'm doing all this stuff. And I said, brother, you're in sin. I say, you cannot work like that and be a man of God. God doesn't call us to work all 10 hours every day and a few extra here and there. God calls us to have a balanced life. And that's what this text, if you look at this, he says, have a quiet life. Have some place of rest. Have some place where you're spending time with God. And live a life where you work with your hands. You do both. A balanced life. And isn't that what God gave us in the Old Testament? He said, I gave you one day. You're supposed to rest. Don't work on it. The rest, you can do your work. He gave us a balanced life. And that's what Paul's doing. He says, sanctified life is a balanced life. It's a life that balances rest with God and the labor I need to do to live. That's a good balance. We need that. We need that in our lives. And we need to be, again, this young man, he was a good young guy, you know, and he actually got a better job, and he's now only working a regular schedule, and he's spending time with his family, and he's doing so much better, you know. But he'd been taught by the world, and some of them in church, oh man, 80 hours, you should be working 90. You know, in other words, there's a pride in that. That's not what we're supposed to be. That's not what our ambitions aren't supposed to be, what the world's ambitions are. Our ambition, we should have an ambition to have rest and be with God. So, just, we're sanctified. How do we live a life that pleases God, right? It's a big, big picture. It's as big as God, and it's as big as our life. Because there's not an area where we talk about walking with God, right? Where don't I walk with God? I walk with God in every area of my life. We separate from the world's values, just bottom line. We cannot be embracing the world's values as our values. Can't have that. And that has to do even with the sexual morals of our society that have just gone down to the pit. We practice activity, sanctifying activity. We pray. We're in the Word. We worship. And this isn't a law, okay? But these are sanctifying activities. It's things that help us to keep our heart and our mind right. I've been in this stressful time for me. It's been very stressful. And I have needed more time in prayer, more time worshiping, more time calling, because I need His strength more and more than ever, because I don't have as many people helping me gather strength on the days that we're here. And God's been good. Let me tell you, it works. It works. Love is huge in Scripture. Not love the way the world teaches it, but love the way God teaches it. Following God's example of love, caring about others, giving yourself to others, looking out for each other, having forgiveness and grace and compassion for folks. And then the balance of rest and work. Those are all areas of sanctification that Paul brings up to these folks. And there, you know, you could probably go on and on, because think of an area in your life, you know. Okay, I need balance in that. How do I sanctify that? You can't sanctify things. Paul says at some point, talking about like eating food, said you can eat whatever you want as long as you're eating it with thankfulness to God. Okay, right? And so we sanctify things. It says if a believer's in a household and he's the only believer, he sanctifies the household. There's so much about God's sanctification power, but we need it. And what he was telling them at the beginning was, grow in it. I never want to think, okay, I'm on top of it. I got it, you know? I'm as good as God ever wants me to be. No way. No way. Been at it for over 40 years and still in the process, still working, right? Thank you, Father, for the sanctification that you give us. We wouldn't even understand what this is without your word, without your Holy Spirit, without your grace. So we thank you, Father, that you open our eyes and open our ears. And we thank you for the apostle and the word of God that just reminds us to make sanctifying activities part of who we are, to be understanding why they're important, Lord, because they actually work in us and they help us. Bless us and keep us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. While we're taking a little time, I just want to say to the folks at home, I put up my number on the screen last week, and I appreciate the people that did text me and that we talked on the phone or something, and invite you please to do that, because it helps me to know how you're doing. If you've already told me, you don't have to tell me every week, but for those who haven't, you know, I really appreciate it. It was very helpful.
Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this word you gave us today, this word of instruction and training in righteousness. And we pray, Father, that as we go about our days in this world, that we would be so careful not to let the world's ideas or passions motivate us, move us, change us. But we pray, Lord God, each day to be renewed in our minds, each day to be motivated by your Spirit to do what's right, and that we would always hear your call to approach you in prayer and in your word. And we pray, Father, that we wouldn't get this self-reliance or prideful attitude about our works, Lord, but that we would sincerely try to please you and continue to look to Jesus for all of our strength and help. In the name of Jesus, we pray all these things. Amen.
Amen.